Welcome to the Financial Coaches Podcast, where we talk about how to build your practice from startup to scale up while being the kind of coach your clients crave. Finally, a podcast for financial coaches. Here are your hosts, Maria Casillas and Cody Sizemore.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Financial Coaches Podcast. I'm Maria Casillas, joined by my incredible co-host, Cody Sizemore. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, Cody. I'm messing up your name today. We are so thrilled to have each one of you listening in today. And we're ready. We're ready to have an amazing conversation. But before we do that, a couple of things I want to remind you. If you have not yet subscribed to our show, we encourage you to do that because we want you to be able to hear all of the great stuff every single week that we bring to you. Also, if you have not yet set a rating, I think that that's a really good time to do that is right now. We would appreciate a 5-star rating from you. Let us know what you think about the show, and we will definitely try to make sure we bring it to you 100% every single week. Also, we are excited to let you know we have started to put out a newsletter, and so we encourage each of you to subscribe to that newsletter. You can actually just do that by clicking the link inside the show notes. And finally, we want to invite each and every one of you to join our Facebook group if you have not yet already. It can be found, obviously, on Facebook, and it can be easily located by searching the Financial Coaches Group by New Money Habits. So we look forward to you seeing you in all of that. And without further ado, I have not spoken with Cody for at least a week now, and I would like to hear how things are going in your neck of the woods.
Yeah. Well, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I mean, my parents are in town right now, so that's been kind of fun. They are watching the kids, so hopefully they're nice and quiet for us today. But yeah, it's just kind of weird because it messes with your routine a little bit. I know you know how that goes when you're into a routine and then somebody comes in and it changes it up. And it's not always in a bad way. It's just you gotta adjust. So yep. I am in adjustment mode right now.
Yeah.
But thrilled to get back to recording with you because that's part of the routine. I don't want to miss each week.
Right. So speaking of adjustment mode.
Yeah.
I've also gone through my own little adjustment that I've had to do. Okay. And I think that, you know, it's a really good thing that we talk about today because this is something that I think is like super common. And it's also something that I think really affects us as coaches, especially if we tend to take things personal. So where I'm going with this whole thing is I want to talk to you about, just getting rejected from your consultations or, you know, your sales calls or whatever you want to call them. Right. But you know, you put on all that energy and all that time, and then all of a sudden you feel good, and then you get to the pitch, and then the pitch happens, and then they kind of go back and forth, and ultimately they end up not moving forward. And it leaves you feeling bummed out for several reasons. You know, one would be you're bummed out because, hey, you didn't get a new client. Mm-hmm. But on the other end, it's also bummed out because it's like, hey, like these people really need the help. And, you know, they're not moving forward and it's a bummer, right?
Yeah. So,
So where that transition period comes into play is that this year so far has been like the best quarter that I've ever had.
As far as
bringing on new clients and stuff like that, my whiteboard is literally almost full.
Amazing.
Which is awesome. And we're still, you know, we got some time left. So, you know, it's been great. And I went on like a streak to where I felt like invincible.
Ooh.
I felt unstoppable.
Cody.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one can say no to this man.
That's how it was. It was like 7-8 people in a row. And I was like, nice. This is sweet. And then right after that, it was 5 people in a row who said no.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what's happening? But then this morning, someone said yes. You know, so I'm just like, okay, you know, but I will say, even with the hot streak of like the 7 or 8 that came on,
mm-hmm.
It was almost like when I was in that streak of the rejection, I wasn't thinking about all the new clients I just brought on and all the impact I'm going to be able to make and, you know, all the help that they're going to be able to get. I was thinking, what's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. Why is this not working? Am I doing something wrong? You know, stuff like that. And it wasn't until I was venting to my wife about it to where she goes, well, do you feel like you're doing something wrong in your consultations? And I like, and when she asked me that, I was like, no, because I just had like so many people that came up. And it kind of made me think, I'm like, maybe, just maybe, I need to remind myself that this is just part of the journey. Yeah. You know?
Let me ask you, Cody, do you think you would have felt any differently about the 7 and 5 if it had been more like 1 and 1 and then 1 and 1 and 1 and 1? Like if it had been intermixed and every other one, would you have felt differently? Okay.
Yeah. Because it was.
Why do you think so?
Because it was like, it was the compounding effect. In both ways, right? Like it was just like one after another after another after another, which felt really good when I was getting them, but then the one after another and after another and another felt really bad when I wasn't getting them, you know. So I think if it was staggered, that I would have felt much better.
Yeah,
you know, I would have felt like consistent with things.
Definitely, yes, consistent and probably a little bit more balanced. One of the things that It's interesting. It kind of jumps out at me as that when it was going really well, ego popped in a little bit and it was like, this is all about me and I'm invincible, et cetera, et cetera. So that when they were saying no, it also had to be all about you, right? Mm-hmm. It had to be something I'm doing wrong because that just makes common sense. If you are the one who is the agent of change up here, then you're also the one who's failing over on this end. So I think it's a really good lesson, not just that it's part of the journey, but that you reevaluate those yeses. And I certainly don't mean to take anything away from you. Yes, you are a rock star and you're doing amazing things. And no buts. And it has something to do with the clients too. There are other factors that are involved in there. And if you're able to see that when things are really, really good, then you'll be more likely to see that when they're not in your favor.
Yeah. And you know, what's crazy is that, you know, I've been coaching for, it'll be 4 years in June officially.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Isn't it?
Right. How long we've known. Okay, go ahead.
The time flies, you know?
Yes.
But so it'll be 4 years in June and you would think, hey, I should have learned this lesson by now. And what's crazy is that I've learned this lesson so many times, but it keeps resurfacing every now and then. But every time it does resurface, I will say I feel the pain less every time.
That's
it's progress. Still there, but it's not as heavy as the previous time. But it's interesting. It's like I know all this. You know, I've learned that lesson. I've told myself this, and I've even like caught myself out of a funk by telling myself this and catching it early as well in the past. But then there are those funks that like, it does happen, you know? So, yeah, I just think that it's important to kind of talk about those, you know, rejections, if you want to call it, because especially for someone who, is, you know, a newer coach or a coach that's like trying to transition into full time and quit their job, you know, like those earlier on, you know, new clients, they're very, very important. We hold a lot of weight to them. And sometimes when those rejections do come in, like you said, we do take it personally. It is ego. And it feels like, you know, we're doing something wrong, you know, and it just feels, it feels personal. You know, you take it personal because you're putting all of yourself into it. Like, especially with the type of consultations that I do, you know, like they're like 90 minutes long. And, you know, I go very deep with people, and then I, like, you know, just let it all out of my chest and my heart and my mind. And I, and by the end of the call, I'm exhausted kind of thing, you know? And when you do that and all that energy is spent, and then it doesn't really have any of that, like, you know, monetary return, it sucks, you know, but I will say there's something that I've learned several times over, and I've learned it again this time, is that I can't take it personally, because at the end of the day, it's not about me. Whether they choose to go on or not, it's not about me, you know? And usually what I have found, and we've talked about this in the past, in past episodes on this show, but what I have found is that almost 100% of the time that someone says no, it's not because they can't do it. It's not because, you know, they can't afford it. It's not because their situation is so tight that, you know, it's impossible. Usually it's just because of something that has to do with a fear-based emotion or a limiting belief. And, you know, we can only help so much on a consultation call.
Right.
And we can, we can really dig into that with coaching, but, you know,
and usually that limiting belief is about them. It's not about their limited belief in you as a coach.
And, you know, they have, like, you know, those ideas of, like, what if I fail? What if this doesn't work? What if, what if, what if, what if? And, you know, what ifs are fine, but it's like, hey, what if you succeed? What if you get all this stuff taken care of? What if you're able to, you know, start pursuing your passion and get out of that job that you don't like? What if you're able to get into a home that you've always dreamed of and out of the apartment that the landlord sucks, you know, like all that kind of stuff, right? The what ifs are there, but, you know, it's up to them to ask the right question, you know, and you just can't take it personally.
Yeah. So three things are coming to mind. One, I'm going to go in the order of which you just stated, because otherwise I'll forget. So one of them is you almost just gave us a really good follow-up campaign, like a good email campaign for people who say no to you. And you could easily take those what ifs and flip them on their heads like you just did verbally, and actually put those into like a follow-up nurturing campaign. Because if they're feeling, what if I fail? What if I did? You know, you're able to help kind of have them think, what if this, what if the next 6 months looks like exactly like I want it to, and start to plant those seeds for them. So that's something that came to mind. Another thing is that when you mentioned the idea of taking it personally, we've talked before about this, but I remember when I was in a direct sales business and I was selling a product and people would say no, it never really bothered me. I mean, because you mentioned, well, you don't have this monetary exchange. And so in that position, yes, there is a monetary exchange that I don't have for my time if somebody says no to the product, but it never felt personal. And it was very easy to go, well, they're not even saying no to that particular product. They just don't, they don't need it in their home right now. They don't want it. It was candles, for the record. So some people don't love candles, and that's okay, but usually they wouldn't be there in my presence looking at them if they didn't love them. So they maybe just didn't find one that they liked, or they maybe they didn't have the budget for it at the time or whatever. But it was a lot easier then to not take it personally. It feels more personal in this, because in a way, it feels like we are the product. And that's not true. Their transformation is actually the product, right? We know that. But in the, when we're hearing that no, it feels like they're not saying no to a transformation, because who would say no to a transformation if they really believed it was possible? It feels like they're saying no to us. So that leads us to the idea of they just don't believe the transformation is possible. And that's where we need to help them see that.
Okay. Yeah. And that takes a lot of inner work on our end.
Yeah.
To, like, you know, not be attached to whether they move forward or not, but then also not be attached to, you know, their successes or their shortcomings. Like, and that's really hard to do too.
It is, but really hard. If you're able to do it in one area, you're also able to do it in the other, which is why I said that when your ego allowed you to say it was all me, then it was very easy for it to go, oh, well, it's all me on the negative side as well. So if you can do what you just said, it will be easier. And that actually brings me to the third thing I was going to say. It's not often that our conversations actually keep me where my mind knows where I'm going, but this one's it. So I'm grateful for that. This morning when we were working out, God gave two words to me, literally from the person who was doing the workouts, and it was grace and gratitude. And I didn't know what those two words were for earlier today, but I feel like this is exactly what I need to bring to this table right now. And it's that idea that in the moment where things were going really, really well, rather than being like, I'm invincible, we just need to rest in gratitude in those moments. Gratitude for having the right clients who had the vision of the transformation, who believe that you are the right person to help them reach that transformation, and grateful that there were seven in a row. And then when there are five or more in a row, or two or one, doesn't matter, but that idea of they're not there, it's not the right timing, to give yourself the grace that, you know what, it might be something you said, but chances are it's not. It's something else. And so that just fits so beautifully in what we were talking about. I appreciate you letting me bring that to the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And even with what you just said about like this idea about gratitude, right? Last night I had a wrap-up call with someone. So sometimes my calls, they have a lot going on, and I like to split it up into, you know, a few calls rather than just doing one, you know, because I know that it's going to be a longer call because there's just a lot to unpack, you know?
Yeah.
And I was talking to this woman, and she has like an amazing, amazing heart, like really, really wants to help people. She's in like the mental health field, for her profession. Financially speaking, she's struggling. You know, she has some money in the bank because of a couple windfalls. But like, as far as like the month to month goes, you know, she's kind of struggling with that. And I had a really awesome conversation to where, by the end of the first call, she was like, you know, I was really nervous about this because, you know, I don't really trust people a ton, but after talking with you, I feel very, you know, heard and understood and you know, very good kind of thing. And I was like, great. So then we had the second call and, you know, I kind of gave my pitch and, you know, she had said, she was really struggling with trying to choose between what program she wanted to do, whether it was the group or the one-on-one, so much so that like I could tell that it was like causing anxiety for her. And I think that it was like, she was just overthinking things. And she had asked, she's like, can I just think about this for like a day? And, you know, I hadn't really given like the full pitch yet. So I was like, yeah, that's fine. Like, cool. You know, not typically something I typically do. So this is a learning experience for me. And then I hopped on the third call for like a quick wrap up thing, 15 minutes, 20 minutes kind of thing. And that's where I kind of like pitched everything and whatnot. And she goes, you know, going through this whole process, like it's made me really feel great and confident. And, you know, I've opened my mind to new things. I'm seeing things in a different perspective. And I really feel like I can do this. I can do this on my own kind of thing. And, you know, she was talking about all that kind of stuff. And as she was talking, I was like, yep. And that's exactly why you should do coaching, because the consultation did that for you. Could you imagine what coaching can do for you kind of thing? But ultimately, you know, she decided that she didn't want to do it. I gave her 24 hours to see if she wanted to, you know, change her mind. And we're currently in those 24 hours. But one thing that she had asked me was, she said, can I pay you for your time that you've spent with me already? You know, can you calculate that and tell me how much I owe you? And I was like, yeah, give me 1 second. So I like took a second, kind of like started typing on my computer and put my phone next to it. And I said, okay, I got it. It's a whopping $0. And she goes, what? And I'm like, yeah, like I told you at the very beginning that, you know, my biggest intention is to just provide value to you and to help you. And I don't care if we end up working together or not. That's my biggest intention. If we do, great. And, you know, that is the truth. I do actually feel that way with people. Cause that's why I got into it, is to help people, you know? Mm-hmm. And, she was really blown away by that. And, you know, she's like, if I can, you know, do a testimonial or, you know, refer anyone, I definitely will, like blah, blah, blah. And she just kept saying, I'm so grateful for this. I'm so grateful for this. And when I hopped off that call, there was a mix of emotions of, yes, I was bummed because that was number five,
mm-hmm.
five in a row.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I also felt good about it because I could tell that she really, really needed it and that she really appreciated it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that level of gratitude in there as well. And I think because of that and how that ended last night, I then went into another consultation this morning and ended up getting it.
I was just going to say that. I just didn't want to interrupt you, that I don't know, like it was, it felt like a bummer, but it seemed like more mm-hmm. of a transitional no for yeah. you. You know, yeah. it was like that. I was like, if I did the math right, he had another one that was a yes right after that. And so, yes, you went ahead and reiterated that. But that's kind of how that feels. And that might not have been a yes this morning had you handled that differently. And so I want to commend you for the way that you handle that. You really do put your heart into it, and you are authentic with them. You're genuine with them. So you're not mm-hmm. just blowing smoke when you say, if we don't work together, it's okay. Like you mean right. it. So I really appreciate that about you.
Yeah. 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 And it's, you have to be that way. You know, mm-hmm. like you can't open up a call or open up a DM conversation. And you know, if they book a call with you, and they ask you like, hey, how much does this cost? And you tell them, hey, it doesn't cost anything for now. You know, mm-hmm, it mm-hmm. could if you wanted mm-hmm. it to, but you know, this is a gift to you. You can't say that and not actually like mean it, you know? Yeah. So it's very important. Again, integrity, it's like my mm-hmm. biggest value, like 100%. So, yeah, it's super important. One thing I did mm-hmm. want to make sure that we talked about before I wrapped up was,
sure.
You know, I kind of mentioned that there was two lessons that I kind of learned through this. One was not take it personal, and we kind of dove into that. This other one I think is a quick little takeaway, but I heard it recently on a podcast, and it was a podcast about real estate investing, actually. And they were talking about like working towards your goals and building something and stuff like that. And they said, they asked the question, do you know what the worst decision is or the worst thing that you can do when you're climbing a mountain? So I'll ask you that. Maria, do you know what the worst thing that you can do as you're climbing a mountain is?
Look down.
The opposite.
Look up. Look up. Look up. I heard it. I heard it in my head. Look up.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Look up. Because mm-hmm. you see how far you need to go.
You have to go. Yeah.
Kind of thing, you know? And it's like, if you do that, and you know, with even with like, you know, these rejections, it's like, man, if that just keeps happening and happening and happening, you know, and it starts to happen 2, 3, 4 times in a row, and you keep looking up and up and up, it can feel soul crushing.
Mm-hmm.
It can feel like I'm so far away from where I want to be, kind of thing. But if you just stay focused on where you're at and you just focus on taking that next step forward, then eventually you're going to get to the top of the mountain. You're gonna be like, oh, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. You know, but like, yeah. if you were to look up, you might actually say, this is too far. I've already worked so hard to get here, and I feel like I have so much further to go. I think I'm just going to stop.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the ski lift down kind of thing, yeah. you know? Mm-hmm. So that's my other like lesson that I learned, and message to, you know, the listeners say is like, hey, if it feels like you're trying to climb a mountain, don't look up, you know, mm-hmm. and that's something you can even teach your clients as well.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. and it actually goes back to other stuff we've talked about before, where it's the gap and the gain. And we can get into that another time. I know we don't have time today, but the idea of focusing on the gain that you've already done rather than the gap between where you are and where you want to get. So, yeah, very, very similar. Just it's vertical when you talk about a mountain. So yeah. anyway, yeah. Go ahead.
Yep. So, but yeah, that's basically what I wanted to talk about, is just, you know, kind of shed a little bit of light into what I've been kind of dealing with the last week and a half, something like that. Yeah. And, you know, just let you guys know it's normal, you know? So if you're feeling that way, or if you've, you know, gotten nothing but rejections up until this point, that's normal. That's very, very normal. It's a part of the journey. You know, you just got to keep taking that next step, and eventually you'll get to that summit. You will. So, you know, don't make it about you. Make it about them. Understand that it is about them, and just keep doing your thing. Keep leading with your heart, and the right people will come to you.
You bet. Grace and gratitude.
That's right.
Use them. All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this week. We will see you next week for another episode of the Financial Coaches Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Financial Coaches Podcast, brought to you by New Money Habits and Sizemore Financial Coaching. Submit your questions to our hosts by emailing podcast@newmoneyhabits.com. Be sure to subscribe to be notified of future episodes and join our growing group of like-minded coaches on Facebook. And until next time, happy coaching. Music provided by Summer School.